Wake up, my dear sinners. Wake up from your deep rest. Won't you say your prayers? Know that you are blessed. I love you, oh, but Jesus loves you the best. And I hope that you choose your own religion.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a podcast that, in a lot of ways, is not the podcast I wanted to do. A podcast on spirituality. But this is who I am. This is what I know. These are the types of conversations I like to have at 3 a.m. anyway. Or as one friend said, you know, like, after three beers in, you just like to talk about death. So, welcome to Choose Your Own Religion. It's not always about death, but it sometimes is. I'm so excited to get this underway. This is the pilot episode, so it will be different. The show is going to evolve a lot, going to change a lot over the course of time. Like, I'm figuring out myself what I really believe, trying to, you know, figure out how to be an open-minded person and be, you know, let me back up. The name of the show is Choose Your Own Religion. The premise is that every week I talk to a friend of mine, usually from the LA comedy community, sometimes not, and by the end of the episode, I'll have helped each guest make up their own religion, their very own personalized religion. Or they tell me why the one they have is legit. We don't gotta reinvent the wheel every time. We got plenty of wheels on this cart of humanity, pulling it along. But sometimes they're not satisfied with all that. So you might be wondering, on what grounds, on what basis do I have to be doing this podcast? In a lot of ways, I'm not qualified because I don't have a spiritual authority. I don't have a degree from a seminary. I didn't spend 10 years at some monastery in Northern California just to have a monk tell me by the end of the whole thing that it didn't really matter in the first place. You know, I haven't done my daily prayers 5 times towards Mecca. I don't have any of that. I do have some religious experience, which I'll get to in a moment. But first, there's been a lot of groundwork I've been having to figure out, a lot of nuts and bolts, things I didn't really think about when I thought of the podcast that I thought I would have to figure out. So a lot of you audiophiles out there, please bear with me for especially these first few episodes as I clearly on the interview side of things and on this monologue side of things have much to learn. Also, didn't realize I'd have to come up with a theme song. I think the one you just heard is pretty good. But it took me some trial and error on my own first before I finally just gave up and decided I'd let some beautiful sounding woman from the internet record the theme song I really had in my mind. Just so you know, this is what the theme song almost was.
Hello, 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 hello.
What's up, y'all? 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 Hi, how are you? Hi, how are you?
So thank God for the internet. I've also had to figure out a catchphrase that, you know, there's a lot of, because every good podcast, you need some kind of catchphrase. You need some kind of call sign. If you're like, you know, and I want to have a spiritual based one, but a lot of the good spiritual catchphrases are already taken. Amen. Can't be my thing. Allahu Akbar. Can't be my thing. Namaste. Can't be my thing. You know, I did come up with one, but I'll save that for the end of the monologue portion of the show. But first, I want to say some things that this podcast is not. This podcast is not a choose-your-own monk lifestyle. I, for one, like sex. And any stance I have towards drugs is not a moral one. It's really about practicality. I for me, drugs have certainly helped me at certain points of my life, and in other times they trap me. So there's no moral position there. It's I want people to be free and know love and be honest about what's going to get you there. And also to that end, this podcast is definitely not about being perfect. You know, that's the one that's tripped me up a lot. Perfection is a tyrant that prevents you from doing any good work in the name of living up to some inhuman standard of order and structure. Perfection is the little Mussolini that lives inside me. The one that says, you can't release this unless it's perfect. It's the same thing that runs ISIS. Give up on perfection. In others and yourself. You know, even though we're not perfect, this podcast is about that we can make better choices. Me, personally, I'm choosing to try to be a better friend than I have been. Because over the years, I think there's a lot of you that are listening that I've grown apart from or that I've done something fucked up to. There's a lot of scenarios in my head. I don't need to list all of them right now. I did break up with someone in a tent in Joshua Tree. That was fucked up. It does pain me to think of some of the asshole behavior that you as a human being can do and then justify in your own mind. And it takes a while before you can realize what you did wasn't right. Or in the case of the tent, as soon as you realize, you have to put it back up together and you have a 2-hour car ride ahead of you. But as far as being an overall better person goes, I'm not going to say I'll be perfect there either, but I want to stop contributing to that. Anyway, with all that out of the way, I'm going to give you a little bit more background on me, just so you know where I'm coming from. Where did the name Choose Your Own Religion come from? You know, part of it is, you know, the whole idea, I guess, for me right now behind the name Choose Your Own Religion, to me, has lots of meanings. One of them is, you know, I really do love the church I grew up in, but I didn't get to choose it, you know. And, you know, I think part of this project is wanting to figure out how we can pick out the beautiful truth that is in a lot of religions and sifted away from a lot of the bullshit that it's surrounded by. We've got these diamonds just like encrusted in a bunch of cow turds in some cases, or some cases maybe it's, you know, it's a diamond that's just got a couple of blemishes on it here and there. And by the way, the church I knew growing up, much closer to the latter than the former. But, you know, this podcast is definitely not about finding like the truest or most correct religion. It's not about finding the coolest version of Jesus. It's definitely not about being apologetic or defending, you know, those institutions of racism or hatred that are sadly still out there. I will say that even some dumb and hateful people can have some good things to say every once in a while. And this is another important thing too. I totally get any kind of skepticism towards the whole idea of this podcast or the whole idea of religion altogether. I have spent many years in the camp of, you know, really honoring at least my own personal attempt to be intellectually honest and just thinking that everything religion touches is bullshit or fantasy worlds or wishful thinking at absolute best. But I don't know. I just think there is some truth in a lot of what these people have said. I think there's a lot of wisdom from these old ass men and women. Granted, mostly men. There's a lot of old ass wisdom that I think we can recover. But maybe one of the most important overriding principles: don't believe anything. You know, even as you're choosing your own religion, you don't have to believe anything. Just put it into practice. The Buddha even said, like, man, don't just believe it because I'm saying it. Don't just believe anything at just face value. Put it into practice. See what it does for you. So here's some more context on me. And, you know, there's, as I get into this backstory, there's a couple things that I am nervous. I am worried about putting all this out there, but you know, there's no viable alternative to the truth. Another thing you're gonna find out on this podcast is I tend to either overshare or undershare. So I'm still calibrating a good share level Personally, I think oversharing is just a narcissist trying to say hello. Maybe you think calling myself a narcissist is harsh, but it's hard not to call yourself a narcissist when you're recording autobiographical monologues to put on the internet. So I grew up, I was born in a small town in North Carolina to a great, great Presbyterian family. How great? My father was a minister, and my mom was even more religious than he was. It was a pretty loving church overall. You know, there's a couple of different branches of Presbyterianism out there. There's PCUSA, Presbyterian Church of the USA, and then there's Presbyterian Church of America. We belong to PCUSA, which is the way bigger one, way more liberal. PCA is, they're not so into the women talking, but I've been lucky enough to know women ministers in my life since as long as I can remember. So I was good, faithful. I was a pretty good kid, Presbyterian, got pretty into it, and through middle school and high school, got pretty passionate about it, you know, helped lead church camps and help teach Bible studies to younger kids in high school. And I was really into it. And then I got to college, the University of North Carolina, and I kind of by accident, I was undecided. And then by accident, I tripped and fell into the religious studies program. I had to take a course from there, and it was Ancient Cultures of the Near East, which should have been the most boring class. But unlike anything else from freshman year, I actually did the reading in that class. And so over the next year or two, I started taking these great classes from these amazing professors that really challenged everything I had believed or thought I knew about the Bible. And I realized that I just sort of believed it by default, and that I hadn't chosen that religion at all. And so I stopped hanging out with my Presbyterian friends, my Presbyterian group. And it wasn't because I didn't like them. It's just I couldn't honestly sit with them and act like I still believed in the same Jesus that they did. And it really, God, it was hard, man. I still held on to some of them. I was smoking weed and heavily at this time. And I did start up a 420 Bible study, which I still stand by how wonderful those experiences were. And that's partially because I didn't have them recorded. And I won't have to listen back to all of the half-assed, we are all one type stuff I said, even though we are all one. So as this was going on, as part of my religious studies program, I studied abroad in Turkey. This is the America of the Muslim world. In that, a lot of the Muslims there, they're nominally Muslim, but they're not that into it. There are a lot of that are into it, though. You know, I didn't convert to Islam while I was there. I did smoke a ton of hookah in an old converted mosque courtyard with a guy who at least had the fingernails of a cocaine dealer. Came back next summer. I saw a lot of the band Fish, my favorite band. Went on a road trip following them around with my girlfriend. Did a lot of drugs. Moved home. By the way, I just want to say Fish has a reputation for being a drug band, and I'm not going to say it wasn't earned. But I will say, I was a completely sober Fish fan for like 4 years. And I do have a lot of that music recorded, and I do stand by it. I moved home, was working for a law firm, thought I wanted to do law school because, why not, right? I guess I could do it. Again, it was something I didn't really choose. I just sort of, like, well, religious studies is a decent pre-law degree. I guess I'll do it. Then while I was there, I caught the stand-up bug, started doing stand-up in Charlie Goodnight's in Raleigh, fell in love, felt empowered by it. I decided I was going to move to LA, and before I moved, I made myself tell my parents that I didn't believe in God. It was tough. My dad, I will never forget my dad looking at me the same exact way when my ex-girlfriend that I had seen Fish with, when she had told me she was a lesbian. He had the exact same level of shock, disappointment, and disbelief I had, and it took us each a while to get over it. And I was living at home, still doing some drugs, spent time going to a Buddhist temple in Raleigh. By the way, if you're a Buddhist in a big city, you don't appreciate how difficult it is to be a Buddhist in some of these smaller southern towns when your temple has to share a parking lot with an exterminator company. Ultimately, there's probably just a few too many pictures of the Dalai Lama for me to feel comfortable there. And so I kind of left that. Stand-up really became my religion around that point. I moved to LA. Kind of became a hedonist of sorts. I was partying all the time. I started getting stoned and hiking and listening to various philosophical talks. Battled sobriety for a couple stretches, different stretches. Started studying Zen and got getting really enraptured by Zen's kind of tendency to call bullshit on absolutely everything. And but unfortunately, that made me a little nihilistic. Then I picked up the Bhagavad Gita, which is one of the main Hindu texts, which is kind of the last real unturned stone as far as the major religions go for me. And I just started doing improv, and you know, it really inspired me to really try selfless approach. Because that's one thing in the Gita. They essentially identify your smaller self, your ego, as the enemy. And improv was this great new art form to me that I saw as the antidote to the self. That to be good at it, you got to really get outside of you and become we. It was around there that I really feel like I started making connections between all of them. And to me, you know, the ego really is sort of the enemy to all of our, to being connected, to being together, to, and it is an illusion that we all perpetuate, most of all me. And you know, I realized I had been choosing my own religion for a while, and around this time I started taking bits and pieces of all these old religions that I had abandoned for a while, but I started really reincorporating them. Like, I had not prayed for a good, probably 8 years. And I'm like, I don't really believe what I thought before is what's happening, but I hear it's useful, so I'll try it. So I started praying every now and then, not to God specifically, but just kind of like to something, to the universe. I started trying out this concept of Sabbath because I will invite any excuse to be lazy for a day. I think there's a lot of great things about the Sabbath that we'll get into in future episodes. Basically, with all these different, you know, I tried a lot of other things too. And, you know, basically I stopped needing the reasons to be right if the thing itself worked. And that's when I decided to make a podcast documenting my journey with all this shit. And so I invite you, if you want to hang out and subscribe to this, I would love for you to. You know, whatever you do, I just invite you to choose your own. And I invite you to think of what's important to you and what's not. And not just, you know, don't just do it. You know, to figure out whether it's, you know, maybe your career is the most important thing, but maybe it's not your career. Maybe it's artistic integrity. Maybe it's contributing to a family. Maybe it's contributing to the human race. Maybe it's just being happy. Whatever it is, I really want you to have an active, you know, an active thing. If you are religious too, I invite you to have a more active faith. If you're raised Presbyterian, you're still Presbyterian. If you're raised whatever, Hindu, and you're still Hindu, whatever. I hope it's an active faith, and that it's every week that you practice it, every day you practice it, that it's, you are choosing it. And it's not just doing it because you've always done it and you feel like you should, but you do it because you say, this is how I want to live life. And these people in this community are the people I want to live my life with. That's how I hope you do it. Wouldn't this have been a great point to drop a catchphrase? My first guest has been a great friend for me in 2015. You should know that we recorded this before I knew it would become, for sure, it would be a podcast when it was just an idea. Brian Middledorf is the producer of the What's Up Creative Podcast Network, which includes Silly Pancakes podcast. And also includes this podcast. Lately, he's been working on this new podcast with my friend Sarah Franklin called Under the Top Part of a Boat, which if you're into avant-garde podcasting, you got to check this out. It's about the third season of Bravo's reality show Below Deck. I have not seen an episode, but I have listened to a lot of this podcast and surprisingly enjoyed it. I'll say this about Ryan. I'll say this about this episode. Beware if you're a grouch, because he's relentlessly positive, and this is a happy episode. I hope you like happy feelings. If you don't, then you should crawl back into your trash can. But I hope you like it, and I hope you email me. I really want everybody's feedback on this. I really want to know what you think. You know, whether if you have my number, you can text me. I'm not going to give out my number, but if you have it, you can text me. Email me at joe@joequint.net. Facebook message me. Subscribe to the show if you like it, man. I hope you like it. There's a lot of good stuff where this came from, including a catchphrase I think we can all get behind. I'm so excited for it. Please welcome Ryan Middledorf. Ja Rule. Okay, so Ryan, I'm curious. I know we have talked about it a little bit off mic, but for this purpose, what is your own kind of religious background up to this point?
So I was raised with zero religion up until probably, gosh, maybe I was like 10 or something, and I think my parents just decided, hey, maybe this is a thing that we should introduce them to. So we started going to church, going to like a just a Christian, like just it wasn't like Catholicism or whatever. It was just like a Christian church, Reston Bible, I think it was called, in Reston, Virginia. Like very, very just general. And that was my first introduction to it, just kind of being thrown into it. Like it wasn't necessarily like this is a thing that you need to do with the rest of your life. It wasn't like that. It was just more of like we're going to explore this as a family together and see what happens.
Cool.
And like, I mean, like I was young and I didn't really understand it exactly. I did go to they did put us in a I was in a private school when I was younger. And, you know, it was like one of those things, like every morning we would go to like the church and the school and do like a, like the whole thing and sing hymns and like we had the whole deal. And I just was kind of sort of put into that at a young age after not having that. But then again, like, I don't really remember much of my life like before then.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I don't want to say jarring, just very, very different.
Do you remember whether, as a kid, when you were thrown into this, whether you were skeptical of the whole thing, or were you kind of like more bought in?
I think from like a naive Ryan as a kid perspective, just kind of bought into it, and not to say that, you know, religion is something that shouldn't be bought into, but just because I was a kid who always listen to my parents and believe my parents. I'm like, oh yeah, so this is a thing that they believe in, so I'm going to believe in it too. It's very much like that.
Sure, yeah. That was me just earlier.
Yeah.
Just not ever... I've never remembered a time where I was not this son of a preacher. I mean, that is literally not... That has never been not part of my existence.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I mean, I don't think I really thought for myself until I moved out of the house for the first time when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I could be my own person.
Right. So you're like, eh, fuck all that.
Yeah, kinda. Kinda. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, as far as... Like,
most 18-year-olds feel that way.
Yeah.
I felt that way to some degree.
Yeah, like, as far as, like, religion goes, like, I stopped going to church. That doesn't necessarily mean that I don't think there's something else. I think there's something else. I just don't know what it is, and I don't necessarily feel like subscribing to a certain belief just because there is literally so much I don't know and I don't feel confident throwing all of my eggs into a certain basket.
Mm.
But then at the same time, that scares me because, right, like, what if I'm like dead wrong and like there is a certain basket that I need to be a part of, and if I'm not a part of that, then boom, right to hell or whatever it is.
Right, yeah. That's, I mean, that is the classic one. I've gotten less, I used to be paranoid about that too, about that idea that, like, yeah, you have to, if you choose wrong, then you'll go to hell. I mean, that's the classic one. But then I feel like if there is a God, that, like, there's no way that hell exists. Like, that just seems silly to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about, like, am I not going to be living a happy life, as happy as I could be if I picked wrong? That's more it. It's
Ooh, that's like, interesting. Like, that's interesting.
Yeah, like, this is, maybe I'm just doing a very inefficient way of trying to find happiness by trying to avoid any kind of specific religion. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I, like, right now I try and live my life with just, like, just deciding what makes me happy and then following that. And then every once in a while the religion thing will kind of creep back in. And I don't think it's guilt necessarily, but there was like a period of time where, you know, like pray every night, pray before every meal,
yeah,
do the whole thing, go to church.
Yeah.
And I guess part of me feels a little, maybe ashamed that I don't do that anymore, or upset that I don't do that anymore, for whatever reason, because it was a part of my life, and now it's not. It's not as rich as it used to be.
Yeah. When is the last time you prayed? Do you remember?
Ooh, that's a great question. Last time I prayed, I find myself praying when I feel very lost, and not lost for myself, but lost for like other people. So my grandfather, for example, he has Parkinson's, and he was diagnosed with it like 3 or 4 years ago. And it got progressively worse and worse, as Parkinson's does. And probably I went to visit him for the first time since he got like pretty deep in it this past March 2015. And I went to visit him, and he was just in not good shape, didn't really know who I was. And I think it was then, and it was, you know, even at the same time, just a very general, like, prayer to whoever would listen, really. Yeah. Like, if there's something out there, yeah, you know, please help or whatever. And, like, I mean, he's on different medication now and doing, like, great, like, talking like he did, like, 10 years ago, which is amazing. And, you know, I don't attribute that to the prayer, but I think for me, it made me feel better about the situation.
Yeah.
Because I was doing literally everything that I could do, because with Parkinson's, with any real disease, unless you're a doctor, there's not a whole lot you can do.
Right.
Aside from just sit around.
Even doctors in that case can't do much. Yeah. Yeah. My ideas of what prayer should be, or how I relate to it, have definitely evolved. I think, I guess there's a lot of diverging opinions out there. You know, the idea that there's a direct correlation between, like, I ask for this in prayer so that it can get granted, or that, like, God answering prayers in a direct manner, that even in when I grew up in, like, even the church I grew up in, they're like, nah. And it's really actually easy to argue that, because obviously if we just prayed for stuff and we got it, then there would be no question.
Like, exactly.
No, you just got to pray for it, bro.
Yeah.
Just pray for that Ferrari.
It'll happen.
Oh, thank God. Thank you. Yeah, but I think I've been praying more recently in 2015, and it took me a while just to even get over, like, feeling like a total dork again, and feeling like,
yes,
this is so dumb. Like, there's a part of me that is definitely like, this is so dumb, this is so silly.
Yeah.
And yet it does make me feel better, and I think it's just like a way for you to tap in and channel, like, more, get to if you're praying for the right things too. I think if you're praying for the non-selfish reasons, as you were for your granddad, it's like it can really tune you into the greater, like, what's going on in this world outside of you. And I think that makes you feel better, to really put the focus off yourself and to, like,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned something that I didn't think about until now, but whenever I pray, or I've prayed in the past, specifically after things kind of dissipated as far as religion is concerned for me, I would always feel, like, very self-conscious about it. Mm-hmm. And, like, this sounds really, really dumb, but I'm always wondering if I'm doing it correctly.
Oh, yeah, dude. I feel like you're not doing religion correctly. The only way to not do it correctly is to think you're doing it correctly all the time. That is the only way, I think. For sure, man.
It's such a self-conscious thing. Like, I know there's the Bible, but, like, what are, like, I need, like, a bulleted list of, like, do's and don'ts. Like, specifically, like, for prayer, like, do I kneel? Does it have to be by a bed? Do I have to, like, put my hands like this? Or is it, like, laced fingers?
Right.
Or close my eyes? What do I do?
Forgive us our debts, or forgive us our trespasses.
Right.
Who knows?
Who knows? It's up in the air.
What if I've been just saying debts this whole time, and God's like,
nope, that doesn't count.
None of those count.
That's why we're not getting the Ferraris.
Exactly. You just tweaked it a little bit. Be more in Baptist shape. cool. So let's, with all that stuff in mind, let's create our own religion.
I like this. Yes. All right.
So
let's start off with our, what's our God, the big structure. What's our belief on God? Like, what God, not as in, what do we believe in? One God? Do we believe in a patriarch? Do we want it to be? This isn't, by the way, this isn't like you have to follow this.
Okay.
Just mental exercises.
Uh-huh.
Do we want many gods? Do we, if we're going to have many gods, do we want a structure where there's like one super god and then like a bunch of smaller ones who have like their own little tasks? Do we want no god at all?
So you're talking about like God having god minions?
Yeah.
For my personal religion, I would want it to be as simple as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, I like the idea, how's it go? Like, it sounds really, really cheesy, but the idea that, like, God is in everybody.
Right.
I like that idea. Yeah. I don't like thinking there's, like, one entity that, like, rules.
That's separate.
That's separate, right.
Yeah.
I like the idea of, like, finding God, like, within yourself.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. Like, once you hit, like, a certain level of some sort of nirvana type thing, then you found God in yourself. And
yeah.
That's fine.
I think that's once you pass 401.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay.
That's why I'm like,
we're getting close.
In a big
getting
rush
close.
To just blitz through these classes.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. No, that's kind of my conception of God too. Yeah, like the force of life that animates all of us.
Exactly. Whatever. Yeah.
All right. So that's our God.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give it a name. Let's give it a non-God name.
A non-God. Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh. Now, are we talking like a name or like
a reference point? It's not like it has to be like Sir God.
Okay.
But it can be Sir God.
Okay. I like the idea of it having like almost like a twitch, like some sort of like like emotive noise, like huh.
Yes.
I like that.
All right. So
our God is, huh.
That's so great.
It's like when it hits, you're like, huh. All
right. So this is the church of, huh. And I guess our overarching ethos, that's our next point. We kind of covered it, is that, huh, is in all of us.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Yes.
So, and that, I guess, if huh is in all of us, then huh wants to take care of fellow huh.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
So we it goes back to the golden rule type thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cool. What's our rules structure going to be? So what kind of rules are we rethinking? What kind of are we going to have strict codes of behavior? Are we going to have a loose philosophy? Or can we dance?
Oh, I like that. Of course we can dance. That is not rule number one, though. Rule number one, and this is something that I, like, live by, everybody love everybody.
Okay.
That's number one. Everybody love everybody.
So, hun love huh.
Hun love huh.
Uh-huh.
Number two, don't be a dick, which I think falls in line with number one. I guess everything could fall in line with number one.
mm-hmm.
Don't be a dick.
So number three be, we can dance?
Absolutely.
I just want to make sure it gets in there, like, really close
there,
up top.
There is a song from, it's Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros.
Uh-huh.
It's off their second album.
Wait, is that the one where it's, like, the big hippie band?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah.
And they have a line, and I believe it's maybe it's the titular song of that album or the first song on that album, but he says, I want the whole damn world to come dance with me.
Oh,
I love that.
Hell yeah.
If there is a subtitle for this religion, it's yeah. I want the whole damn world to come and dance with
that
me.
That is beautiful. Yeah. That can be our opening worship song.
I love that idea.
Because that is one of our next points, is what does worship look like?
Ooh,
for huh.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Just so much fun.
Is it weekly? Is it monthly? Is it whenever you feel like
it? It's whenever you feel like it.
Okay.
It's whenever you feel like it. You can just, and it doesn't have to be, there aren't specific structures you have to go to.
You just create like a Facebook event.
You just create a Facebook event and
yeah.
just show up
yeah.
and just a bunch of people hanging out, having a good time. There is, I'm not giving anything away. I've been writing a screenplay for a while.
Wait,
and
what?
Crazy! A comedian writing a screenplay? Tell me more!
You spoiled your own life, bro.
I know. I'm done now. But there's a scene in it, which I love, and I just love it so much, so that's what I'm going to share. But it's a guy who's, like, really down in his luck, and he starts to, like, kind of pick himself back up, and then he dances by himself in his apartment to Creedence Clearwater Revival.
I love that.
It's my favorite part of it.
Which song?
Bad Moon Rising.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
What's the other bit? There's a couple CCR songs that are great.
Yeah.
It was just on the tip of my tongue, the other one, until we started singing Bad Moon Rising, and then it's gone.
Fortunate Son?
Is that one? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you heard Fortunate Son?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you're playing like one note.
One of the like.
I guess somebody's got to play bass. All right. Before we dive more fully into the worship, I wanted to. I guess we can. I don't know how much the order matters. I threw this together 10 minutes ago. But, okay, do we have any texts? Do we have any holy books? Do we have any, are they old books? Are they modern books? Do we read at all? Do we have anything we come back to again and again?
That's a great question. I'm trying to think if there's anything in particular that I would want. You know, what about just like a crowdsourced book of haikus?
That's great.
Just a crowdsourced book of haikus.
That's
like that
better than I would have ever imagined. Yeah, because everybody, it's crowdsourced. Everybody can have one.
Everybody can have one.
It can be a big-ass book.
Big-ass book. Anybody can contribute. Yeah. You got a haiku, very easy to come up with. Mm-hmm. You just throw in the book, and it's part of, canon.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, we don't... But what happens if somebody in their haiku says, "Thou shalt not dance. I do not believe that dancing is good.
Wow.
Let's kill everyone."
Wow. Well, that obviously goes against everything that we stand for.
Yeah.
So that...
We can't be a literalist. If that's going to be our book, we can't take a literalist interpretation of the book.
That's true. You're right. So what are we to do at that point then? I mean...
Well, this is the question Christianity has been asking itself. This is what they don't tell you about Christianity, is that people since like the year 300 have not been... There's been people who have not taken the Bible literally for like 1500 plus years. So this has been a constant question on like Christians' minds. I don't know about the other traditions as much, but like how literally do we take it? Which passages do we take literally? How do we interpret things that, if we're honest to ourselves, kind of sound like bullshit?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's still something almost every modern church, I think, deals with that to some level. And so, yeah, we don't... The one way would be like one of... There's verses in the Bible about like bears being summoned by a prophet, Elijah,
yeah,
going down and killing 42 children.
Yeah.
Now, we don't have ceremonies where we kill 42 children with bears.
Right.
Although I might get back into Christianity if we did.
Show me the bear!
Oh, great. It's bear day.
I mean, I've never seen like a bear like up close in person, so
much less a bear mauling 42 children.
Specifically 42 children.
Yeah, we picked the worst ones.
Gotta get rid of them.
I mean, look, there are too many people in this world.
You're absolutely right.
And
just look at the traffic in Los Angeles.
Bears are probably endangered. I don't know, but they probably are.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed like two birds.
I think he had a right.
Two birds. Okay, so we got this book of haikus that we're not going to take literally.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can pick and choose which ones we take literally.
Just like religion.
Yeah.
Sounds like a religion.
Mm-hmm. So we got music. Music will open with the Edward Sharp song.
Yes.
Do we have... Is this a music-filled service? Is it just sporadic? Is it like a traditional Protestant where we interrupt worship with song? Or
I want it to be like a variety show.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's music. There's dancing. There are probably a couple of improv groups going up.
It has to be.
There has to be
one set in the middle.
One set in the middle. A palate cleanser. A good group game, maybe. Yeah.
Good audience interaction.
I like the idea of it being a variety show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's where it's at.
That's pretty. That's pretty great. Do we in the course of our variety show, is there a section for apologizing for saying how we fucked up this week?
Ooh, that's a great.
Or do we not even want to introduce that, like any of these feelings of guilt at all?
I think it can be there if you need it, but it's not required. If you feel like there is something really eating away you that you need to get off your shoulders, then by all means, say it out loud. But hey, if you just want to say it like by yourself, to yourself.
Yeah. So like the I fucked up minute. The minute of like I fucked up.
Yep.
Like we just have like a silent minute where anybody can stand like, look, I fucked up.
Exactly.
My bad.
Yep. Yep. That's all you have to say.
That's all you have to say.
Everything forgiven.
Cool. And, yeah. That, and in the spirit of Gilly Neeson, so you fucked up, and that's okay. Okay. What if we talked about prayer a little bit earlier? Mm-hmm. What's our prayer? What's prayer look like? Do we have it at all? Is it meditation? Is it anything?
It's a group hug. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just one
wordless group hug.
A few pats on the back, maybe. You can whisper to your neighbor if you'd like, but I like the idea of whatever the congregation is. Again, it can be anywhere. Mm-hmm. You just throw up a. It has to be a Facebook event.
If it's not Facebook official,
it doesn't count.
Then it's not. Does not count. Canon, yeah,
right. No, exactly. We need to have a record.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the end for the group prayer. It's going to be just a group hug. You just all get together, group hug. Everybody love everyone. Mm-hmm. I like that.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And, okay, yeah, because sometimes words just get in the way.
That's right. Exactly.
And I say that sort of tongue-in-cheek, but I also don't in another way. Because, like, oh, man, there's been a lot of Eastern religions and philosophers have this view that kind of blows my mind that, like, all words are made up. Like, no word is any kind of natural, inherent experience of living. And so, like, almost any time we use words, we need them to communicate. But, like, they're never going to be perfect descriptors of what experience actually is.
Ooh, that's interesting. That's really interesting. Yeah, because it's word, like, microwave. Yeah. Why is that thing called a microwave?
Right. It's just putting extra layers of thought, which it kind of can remove us from what's... That can remove us from loving each other, really.
Yeah.
It really can.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Or loving microwave popcorn.
We're bound by words.
We for sure are.
Wow. But,
so, hugless prayer sounds
hugless
decent
prayer.
To me.
Big fan.
All right. What about money? Do we need money for I guess this... Let's first say, do we need... You said we can worship anywhere, right? Do mm-hmm. we... So, we don't have any kind of central... Location.
Yep. No churches, no buildings.
So do we rent out? Like, what do we do for as far as like where do we meet?
I think it's very much like what we do with improv practice.
Just anybody's apartment.
Anybody's apartment.
That can
whatever,
fit 300 people.
Exactly. Whatever has ample parking. Uh-huh. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. As far as money goes, no, I don't see there being any reason to deal with money. I think that muddies things mm-hmm. a little bit. And I think it's as long as you have a Facebook account and can set up an event, that's all you need, really.
So that would be sometimes you know money is paid to pay clergy or whatever to mm-hmm. give somebody the full time duties to mm-hmm. handle this. But I guess it's if you organize a Facebook event, it's on you.
The only reason that there would be money involved is if someone in the community needed help.
Okay. Okay.
And then you pool whatever you can bring. A dollar, fine. $10,
great.
Whatever. That would go towards the person that needs help.
Now this is where we get into tougher questions for the Church of Hung.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So how do we decide like who really needs help? Because there's going to be, you know, unfortunately, there's going to be some bullshit like...
That's true.
Oh, yeah, I need a new couch. Like, I don't have enough furniture. There could be a misappropriation of funds. People could make up stuff.
That's true. Ooh, this goes back to what I was saying about how it muddies things a little bit.
It does.
I see where this could be an issue.
It does.
I think medical bills, strictly.
Only medical bills.
Only medical bills.
I mean, at least there's a strict, and we have to see the paperwork.
We have to see, that's right. You have to have a doctor's note.
Yeah. So, okay, but then now we need to have somebody who's in charge of, like, processing the requests.
Ooh, yes.
I guess that can be a volunteer position, right?
It could be a volunteer position, yeah. But it can only be one volunteer position.
Right.
We cannot be having, like, some person get 60% of the money and the other person getting the... It's,
right.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
So
one person.
An elected volunteer.
An elected volunteer. Yeah, I think so. No banks either. No banks.
No banks.
Yeah.
Like, our money doesn't go into any kind of bank.
Does not go into any kind of bank.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Once we get into money...
It does...
This is where stuff starts to break down.
It does. It really makes things complicated.
I imagine this is how a lot of religions started.
I think you're
like,
right.
Oh, this is fucking perfect. Christianity? Hell yeah. Just love everybody? Yes. All right, so what are we going to do with the money? All right, who's going to do it?
Yeah.
Well, I need to get paid to do it. Well, how are we going to pay him? Well, how do we go about that? How much do we pay him? Does he really need to get paid?
Oh, it's a scary thing. Oh, man. Yeah, there had to be some sort of meeting like that. It had to be touch and go for a while.
It was probably one meeting.
It was probably one meeting, yeah.
They figured out one quick meeting, like, oh, that was easier than I thought.
All right, we're done.
Yeah, and that's why we have so many problems. They didn't work out enough.
They didn't work it out. That's right.
The
issues. That's right.
So what, besides, okay, we already established our community is centered largely around Facebook events. I guess we could have a Facebook group that events would go out.
Absolutely, you could.
Very much. Invite.
Yes, called the Underground.
Right.
Yep.
Maybe we have a Twitter feed just to...
Maybe we do.
In case, just to be like, hey, this is where it is. You can't, if you're only on Twitter, you can't create... event, but you can see at least where they are.
That's correct. Yes.
Right. Yeah. What do we do about our kids? Do we have youth education? Do we have any kind of? Do we have adult education for that matter? Do we have any kind of youth group?
See, I would say that the foundation of is just basically being good to everyone. Now, while I would love for that to be actively played up in, like, schools and just adolescents in general.
Yeah.
I don't want to force that on anybody. If you want to raise your kid to be a total dick, by all means,
go for it. Just don't bring him to
Just don't bring him to We have no place for him in If you want to raise your kid to be an asshole, that is your
That's
prerogative.
Fine. Yeah.
We're not going to stop you.
And here's the reverse psychology of it. If you raise him to be an asshole, he's more likely to say, fuck you, and then join the Church of Hunt anyway.
That's right.
If you raise him in the Church of Hunt, he'll probably think it's a bunch of BS and, like, walk away.
That's exactly
he's
right.
He's more likely to end up an asshole.
Yep.
So.
Ooh, I like your thinking.
Yeah.
Yes.
So just, however.
Yeah, whatever you want. Just go for it.
What about the kids that their parents... Inevitably, there will be parents wanting to bring their kids.
Yes.
Do we have a youth group? Do we have, like, a time apart for them? Are they just there in the worship? Because they could... I've been in a lot of churches with kids, and they can be distracting.
We
love them, but they can be distracting.
This is what we do, Joe. We try and downplay it as much as possible.
Ignore.
Just be very coy towards the children.
Right. Okay. That sounds pretty Protestant.
Yeah. So hopefully they leave on their own accord and then wind up back in a couple years.
Mm.
That's the goal. Just downplay it as much as possible.
I like it. Yeah. So, like, if they're disrupting worship, you just, like, ignore it. I mean,
yep.
That's pretty much standard fare for now anyway. You definitely can't engage it. You can't have everybody be like, hey. Although maybe if we did, it would cut it out.
Hey now, enough of that.
What if, if there was a disruption? Hey, cut it out! Like 300 people turning.
Just all at once in unison.
Hey, cut it out! Of course, there would always be a kid who would be way too into that. We wouldn't want to press that.
That's true. I say we have an open door policy that goes both ways.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, and like. Yeah. No, so, like, kids can tell the adults, hey, cut it out!
That's right.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's fair.
I think so.
They're too.
They are the future.
Yeah. They're the children of
They're children of
They're themselves.
That's right.
Okay, so this is the last section I've outlined. If we have anything else we want to explore, that's great.
Okay.
These are the areas I thought of before I came over. This maybe is a potential solution slash goes hand in hand with our money problem. What's our outreach look like? What's our evangelism look like slash mission work?
Ooh, okay. That's interesting. I feel like this is also something that could potentially muddy the waters a little bit, because when you see someone actively preaching the word of their religion to other people, it can sometimes, I feel like for me, sometimes like that's a little intrusive.
Yeah.
A little bit of a turnoff.
I've been that person. I've been the turner off.
So how did you feel as that person in that moment? How does that feel?
To be the turned off or the turner off?
The turner off.
You know what? It sucks because, look, the only people who are really evangelical about anything, and I try not to be, but you're only evangelical because you really believe it's, like, great for everyone. Like, it really is coming from a genuine place.
It's coming from a good place, yeah.
It so is, and you're, like, just trying to be, like, just try to understand what I feel like I understand now. But yet there's, like, I don't know if it's egos getting involved, if it's just, like, human pride and ego type of thing on the recipient end who's, like, I like how I like it. That would take a lot of work. I don't like my assumptions being challenged.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's not. That's the unfortunate thing. You just can't really. I mean, I mostly experience this with trying to get people into fish. Like,
yeah.
I wish people would just get it. I mean, you just have to. And I've my relationship with fish has matured over the past 10 years that I've been a fan. Yeah, you just come to realize like it's just sad. Most people will not know the love that I know.
Yeah.
You know, and I can just try to extend the lessons I've learned through them to everybody else indirectly, but you just can't directly talk about it. And it sucks. It sucks because it's like, you're like, man, if only everybody could be into fish, this world would be perfect.
It would be a better place.
It would be a perfect world.
That's it. Okay. I think as far as that's concerned, I don't like the idea of kind of barking on a sidewalk.
Right.
You know?
Like a dog.
Like
or,
a dog.
Or
like or, yeah. or a man. Like a dog or a man. Either or.
Right.
Either mammal. Not a fan of barking on the sidewalk.
I gotta say, even if I was a dog, I wouldn't like the idea of barking on the sidewalk.
No. I don't think I would either. No. I want to bark in the comfort of my own home.
Right.
Right. I think going back to what we said about what the money is strictly for, I think our form of reaching out will be helping members in the community. But then this brings up a thing. So, like, if there's someone in the community, not in the community, but in the world, right, that needs help,
like a Kim Davis,
like a Kim Davis that needs right. that needs some help. If there's any type of money that needs to be involved in that type of help, then that has to come from somewhere, and it can't come from us because we're already paying for the medical bills.
Right, yeah.
This is a tricky thing.
I guess that's GoFundMe.
I
don't know.
Maybe it's actively setting up resources for other people to help people.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Hey, sorry, we can't really contribute much, but we will set up a page for you.
Look at this Indiegogo story.
Look at the GoFundMe, Indiegogo. We'll get it all set up for you so you don't have to worry about a damn thing aside from contributing the funds.
Yeah. Well, I'd say we have, I think the Church of Huns pretty promising.
I'm very happy about it.
I think a lot of people could get on board with all that.
I think so. Simple rules, fun services.
Right.
And
a chance to say you fucked up.
A chance to say you fucked up, which, let's be honest, everybody wants. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants a chance to
just
say
Just a chance.
Yeah, because we're not given many chances to say we fucked up on a day-to-day basis.
No, no, we're truly not.
We're not.
We're truly not.
And then a very small amount of funds that go towards something good.
Like medical bills. Right. Specifically medical bills. Because that's the only one where there's, like, very clear paperwork involved.
Yeah, and that's the only one where if you don't contribute, you'd feel bad.
Right. Yeah. My guilt is very specific.
Extremely specific.
Just the medical bills.
Just the medical bills.
Unpaid medical bills, man. I stay up late. And I'm like, shit.
Oh, you overdrafted on your debit card? Ah, sorry. I can't help you.
Don't feel that bad. You're just poor in general?
Yeah. You did that to yourself.
Probably. Well, this has been, I think it's been a great pilot episode.
This has been a blast. I love this.
I think I definitely want to release this at some point in some
form. I would love that. I'm a big fan of this.
Yeah. This is way better than the other fucking idea.
How do you feel about the Church of Huh?
Well, I feel like I want to be a deacon if we have them.
I think we can make a specific rule for Joe Quint.
Yeah. I think one thing too, I think in the blog that I set up for this podcast, I want to just outline the brief, like the cliff notes of every religion, yes, just so that to get a comparison. My only worry with this project is that they're all going to sort of sound the same, but I hope not.
I mean, it's everybody's point of view.
Yeah.
You know, you might get the same general answers, but their point of view is always going to be different.
Yeah. I'm really stoked for the first person who wants like a hierarchical God structure. Who wants, like...
Yeah, you know, I mean, more power to him, that just sounds very...
Sounds exhausting.
It sounds exhausting, if we're being honest.
cool, man. Well, thanks for letting me do this at your pad.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me. This has been a blast.
Yeah, man.
I love this.
You know what? I hate to say it, but I love this, too.
Oh. Joe. Right. Oh, Joe.
All right, this is my smooth segue of signing off. Well, that's the show, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you liked it. If you liked it, subscribe on Stitcher, iTunes. Give me a rating. Give me a review. That would be so dope. Find me on Facebook. Find me on Twitter. Get at me. joe@joequint.net. I want to hear from you. Ja Rule.
What's a creative podcast network?